Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Jerry, is the tape going? Okay. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, to orient ourselves to where we are, why we're here, and to worship God. And so let's just begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity to come and worship you, to join with others who are like-minded, Heavenly Father, in the understanding of who and what you are, and of your grace and of your love to send your Son to take our sins away on the cross so we might have eternal life with you. We pray, Father, that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you in the name of your Son. Amen. Okay, let's begin with song. for a new song? This too will pass. Okay, let's see. Let's start with the announcements. First of all, today we're going to take up two offerings. One will be the general offering, and then one will be for the Risleys. And then we come to that. The Risleys will be here, Pat and Bill will be here next Sunday. And so next Sunday we're having communion, and then we will have lunch so that we can fellowship with them, talk with them, and just enjoy their company. So that will be next Sunday that we'll do that. And in that respect, next Saturday, there's going to be a tea for the ladies, Pat, at Wes and Sharon Tuttle's. And the best way just to get to their house is very simple. From here, go down Coit, or north on Coit, to Plano Parkway. Go west or to your left on Plano Parkway. And just before you'd get to Ohio, you'll come to Land Street, L-A-N-D. Take a right, take a right, and there's just the fourth house on the right. It's 1312 Land Street. It's a fourth house on the right. So that will be next Saturday from what? 2:30 to 4:30. Come and go. And come and stay until the food runs out, or you can come and go. And so that will be for Pat. That'll be next Saturday from 2:30 to 4:30. And then Sunday we will have fellowship with them and meet here and just have a wonderful, wonderful time together in that respect. Yes. Okay. Very good. That'll kind of help them know how much and what to get out. That'll be very nice. The theme... Okay, very good. Do what? Okay, so any questions about the events today and then Saturday and then Sunday? Okay, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Bill and Pat are really stretching out there visiting churches. They're in Tulsa at Dan Hill's church today, and then they'll be here next Sunday, and they just don't do that. So we got to let them know we're just good old folk, and... no questions on that one. Let's see. The theme for communion dinner lunch next Sunday is Thanksgiving theme. Turkey, ham, whatever you have left over from Saturday, you can bring. And this is also on the back there, so you can read that. Any questions on any of this? Okay. It's not that complex. Let's talk about prayer. I first of all need to be in prayer in our own assembly for Tish as she continues to battle the cancer.
And I got a new request.
Oh no!
I'm changing courses. The doctor, the stuff they're doing is not working, and it makes me sick. So I'm not going to do it anymore. But I got a hold of another doctor, homeopathic doctor, and they got some new ideas, some things I'm going to add in. And the stuff I'm going to put on it to make it, maybe draw it out or something. Yeah. And so that's my new prayer, that this stuff will maybe work.
I told her she's got so much stuff inside of her, she's really dead. But her body doesn't know it yet. With all this stuff that's in there. I will be in prayer that this works.
Yeah,
yes.
That this is the right path.
We'll be in prayer that this works. Need to be in prayer for Amber. and need to be in prayer for Nathan. Nathan is going into the United States Army, probably later this month, we're not sure. Need to be in prayer for Bill Hess. He needs our prayers. Bill came by my house this week and stayed a little while, and so that was really enjoyable just to have him over and talk. Tyson worked on my computer, and Bill and I just had some time together, so that worked out very, very nicely. Let's see, as far as going outside the church now, Kid, how's Lisa doing?
Doing okay. She's getting ready. I have another 2-3 weeks to transition to a school where they have intensive therapy.
Okay.
She's ready to leave, and but it'll be a change for her. She's used to where she's at now, and she's made progress where she needs to be.
Okay. Very good. Tana, how's your friend doing with his cancer?
Still struggling with it. He's just healing.
Okay.
Still with us.
All right. Continue to be in prayer. Nancy Becker, just continue to be in prayer for her. She and Don will be traveling. We need to be in prayer for as they travel across the country starting tomorrow morning about 4:30. And he likes to get up real early and start on the road. And let's see, Vic and Cindy Edwards needs our prayers. Pat Hill's mother that we prayed about last Sunday, she went home to be with the Lord Monday. And so while Pat rejoices, there's a sorrow that accompanies that rejoicing. The memorial service will be in Phoenix later on this week. And then the resident will come here and stay with me. And Dan and Pat are going to go to Phoenix, and I'm very jealous because John and Judy are coming up, and they're going to spend some time celebrating. I'm not sure it's all geared around Pat's mother, but just a lot of good time together. But we need to be in prayer for all of them as they travel. Okay, any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes. Okay.
To get back to work now.
All right, good.
Thank you for the prayer.
All right.
I have a prayer for one of my ex-bosses. His name is Scott. And 2 weeks ago, his mother got a cancer surgery, and she had a little complication, so she's trying to recover from it. But all of a sudden, his father collapsed and got a stroke, and on Friday, he passed away.
Wow. The thing about those is that they're not, unexpected, and so we'll be in prayer for the family. Absolutely. Any other prayer requests? Okay. Let's be in prayer for Romeo and his family. Romeo, how you doing? Good. All right. Very good. All right. First of all, we're going to take up two offerings today. The first offering is a general offering of the church. And the Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposeth in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is one who has personally accepted Christ as Savior, but not only that, knows how to be filled with the Spirit and be led of the Spirit in regard to the offering. With these principles in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity that we have, first of all, to assemble ourselves, fulfilling the exhortation to forsake not the assembling of yourself, to join with other believers who are like-minded, get oriented as to why all the things that go on in our life during the week, but Heavenly Father, that we might touch time and eternity. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this assembly. We thank you for the opportunity to sing together, pray together, worship, open the text. Let your Spirit open our eyes to things you'd have us to see in the text. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give, and that you will use them to continue the outreach of this assembly in giving the gospel to both unbeliever and believer. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Got to give him a chance to count that money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, then we're going to take a special offering now for the Risleys and in their ministry in Mexico. It's just is amazing to me as they get ready to come next Sunday and ladies get to be with Pat. The mindset that the Spirit has given this family when Bill and Pat, Bill got out of the military and they just decided to be missionaries. No board wanted them because they were too old. And so they just took off on their own money and went to Mexico. And as God would have the course of events of history, they met John and Judy. And then one thing just led to another. And so it's just a wonderful privilege to be a part of their ministry. And people, they just go, you got to appreciate that the various denominational groups, the charismatics, very big, and they go to areas and where there are enough people and money. The Risleys go, they'll drive down, not even a road, but dirt road, and there'll be a little area there with maybe four or five little huts, and they'll just set up camp. And they'll stay there for a week or two, and as long as the response, and if there is any response. And then John, church, they will, in fact, the two of the men, Larry and John, just went down Friday, and they'll go down maybe once every other month, and they carry a couple of cases of Bibles, thousands of lessons that Bill Risling has put together, and they print them up, take those down there, and distribute those. And they just said people are just waiting at the door, and then other people will come, and they know that they're getting these things. And these are people that have zero money, and they can, some of them can't even read Spanish, much less English. And so these are the people they minister to. And it's just grown and grown and grown. And of course, you know about Grady. He's in the prison ministry. Summer's in the ministry at Omasita, at the hospital, where just unbelievable things are happening in her ministry, her and her husband's ministry there. So it's just a wonderful blessing to be a part of what they're doing, to be able to be a part of their outreach. And what they do, they don't work on a budget. They get whatever comes in. They divide it five ways between the five, the Bill and Pat and the four children and all their ministries. And they just divide it up, and they live on that. And so that's basically how they live and function. So it's just, again, it's going to be a wonderful privilege to have Bill and Pat here next Sunday. And I hope everyone will be here and just enjoy the fellowship with them. So we're going to take an offering to help support their outreach in Mexico. And we'll give them the money next week when they come, and let them do with it however they see fit. So let's begin with this one with a word of prayer. We know, Heavenly Father, that every human being that reached the age of accountability are aware of your existence, that you are. We know then, Heavenly Father, that those who respond in their own understanding of you, that you do exist, and then desire a relationship with you. And what a wonderful privilege it is that we have here in Dallas, in our comfortable homes, to be a part of the spreading of that gospel, to perform, Heavenly Father, the greater works by giving, by prayer. So, Father, we pray now that you will receive these offerings and that you will use them to help the Risleys in their ministries of outreach of the gospel, both for unbeliever and believer. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's open the text, if you will. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. A very important section of scripture in dealing with the fact that everyone knows that God is, and therefore no one is without excuse. And the more that man decides in his soul that God does not exist or that Jesus Christ is not the way, comes up with all kinds of speculations on how we got here and how the universe got here and what's going to happen after death and all these types of things. And as we're going to see, all their speculations to try to explain away God and explain things without God is but foolish speculations. So let's begin with the word of prayer, that the Spirit can open our eyes to the things He'd have us to see and understand in this passage. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray now that Your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that You would have us to see, and give to me the words of clarity, simplicity, and truth, that we might understand the things that You would have us to see. Father, there's no way that we can grasp everything that is in every verse, but we can grasp the things that You would have us to see, things that we need right now in our lives. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now, the truth is the truth of the being of God. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. So God has made it evident within every human being that God does exist. This is a grace and mercy of God. For God made it evident in them. For since the creation of the world, now this is the outer witness, the inner witness is the one that God puts in us, then there's an outer witness. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, His divine nature, that He is God, that He exists, have been clearly seen, revealed. Being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, now that's verse 19 and 20, they did not honor Him as God. This goes back to verse 18. The ungodliness without God. Or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, trying to explain everything away. And their foolish heart was darkened. When you eclipse the light, it's going to be darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Okay, we're in verse 21 where we left off last Sunday. For even though they knew God, every member of the human race knows that God is. He can deny it. He can explain it away. Do all this kind of stuff, and that's why I spent some time last week with that scientific article out of the Economist that's going on in Europe right now. All these scientists from all over the world trying to explain away why man universally believes in God. So man believes it, and then he comes up with all the reasons why there is no God. They did not honor Him as God. Honor, the greatest honor that we can give God is to trust Him, to believe that He is, to believe in Him. At God consciousness, these did not believe in Him. At gospel hearing, they refused to honor Him by recognizing Him and believing in His Son as the way to Him, or give thanks that He made Himself evident to them. We should give thanks for that. So here in Romans 1:21, the reasons for giving thanks is due to the wonderful, merciful, gracious act of God in revealing His existence to us, and that we should give thanks for that. But they would not do it. But if you just think about, as God created and designed our soul, that He put in there that God exists, so that the child, whatever age the person becomes God conscious, knows that there is a God. He knows that God exists, but they would reject that and did not give thanks. And just to finish up where we left off last week, it really just simply cannot be overemphasized, the importance of a thankful soul in life. Just can't be emphasized. And I hope that you are thankful to God in your life every day. I don't have anything to be thankful for. Well, people, you can be thankful that He let Himself be known to you. Be thankful that He sent His Son, that you could have a way to Him. You can be thankful that He revealed that gospel to you. In His Spirit, I hope that every one of you give thanks. And just remember, what you consistently give thanks for, you will value. You cannot, in the power of the Spirit, consistently give thanks every day for your husband and wife and run them down. For your parents and run them down. For your children and run them down. You begin to value whatever is constant in your thanksgiving and your prayer. It becomes important to you, valuable to you. Local church, friends, whatever it is. Not a ritualistic prayer, but in the power of His Spirit, thanking God for these things. But most people around the world do not do this. They reject, they suppress His existence. So when you suppress the existence of God, a vacuum begins to form in the mind. And something has to fill that vacuum. So, you cannot suppress the being of God or reject the gospel of Jesus Christ without there being a severe results in your thinking. I want that to sink in. That's why I put it on the overhead. I want it to sink in. If a person, and this is true of a believer as far as Christ is concerned in the Holy Spirit, you cannot reject or suppress the being of God, the being of Jesus Christ, without there being severe results in your thinking. You will think, doesn't mean you'll stop thinking, but your thinking without the person of God and without the person of Jesus Christ changes drastically. You're thinking about life. You're thinking about things that happen in life. You're thinking about the world, where history's going, past history, present history, future history. All this is going to be affected by, first of all, what is your attitude about God? Where does God fit into the whole thing in your makeup, in your understanding of these things? So first comes the rejection of God and of Jesus Christ. Then your thinking is affected. But they became futile in their speculations. Okay, this is our next phrase in verse 21. The Greek, I want to start with the Greek Allah, conjunction Allah translated but. It introduces a strong, dramatic, severe contrast in this text. Instead of honoring Him by believing in Him, instead of giving thanks to Him for making Himself evident to them, they started speculations on why He does not exist, how things are that God does not exist. Explain it away. Explain away how this whole universe came to be. Big bang and things just happened. explain away how man came to be. Well, he started out as little plasma and developed and evolved and evolved and evolved and went through different stages from one whole different category to another. And that explains it away. Explain how man got here. Ancient mythology had its answers. Modern science has its answers. So they come up with their futile speculations. There are always repercussions when you suppress God out of your life, out of your thinking, when you suppress the being of Jesus Christ. People, this is not divine discipline. That someone will come up with some reason how man got here, how this universe got here, how this world got here, how I got here, explaining away things, explaining away the mechanisms of the human machine is nothing but a physical machine, physics, the law of physics. Explaining all of these things away. This is not divine discipline. This is not divine punishment. It's simply the results of suppressing God out of your thinking. You take two different, one has everything oriented to God, another, okay, there is no God, no Christ, no salvation, no eternal life, no life after death, all these types of things, and come up with all your idle speculations. And the most brilliant of minds, Aristotle. I still think Aristotle is the greatest mind for the non-Christian or a Christian that doesn't want God in their life. Doesn't want Jesus Christ in their life. Explaining it away. Because people, one of the things about man, we have to understand our origin. It's just part of another thing that God just put in us. Where did I come from? And what's going to happen after I die? And until you come up with your speculation, your futile speculation, I know it can't be over when I die. I know it can't be over. I love very popular movies, and they deal with this. Well, you know, what happened to mom? What happened to this? Well, we'll be with them later. No explanation, no understanding, just that makes me feel good. That someone I loved here, it can't just end here. Now, I don't want to get involved on how and what and all of that. I just hope that's what happens or know that's what happens in their own thinking. Now, this same phenomenon, just so you maybe get too comfortable here, occurs when believers suppress God out of their lives or Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit out of your life in your daily decisions that you make. I make this decision without God. I make this decision without Christ. I make this decision without the Holy Spirit. I don't need the Holy Spirit here. I don't need Christ here. I'm going to marry this person. I'm going to live here. I'm going to go to this church or not go to church or whatever it is. As we make these decisions, people, it's going to have its effect on you and your thought process. So this is true of both unbeliever and believer. You simply cannot suppress God out of your life without there being repercussions. Something has to fill the void. God created. It's that simple. No, there's no God. So let me form my thought process on how things got here. Let me start my thinking. Without God, or for the believer, without Christ, without the Holy Spirit, without it having eternal repercussions of decisions that we make each day. Okay, the first result, they became futile in their speculations. First result of suppressing God, denying, not honoring Him, not giving thanks for Him, the first result, they became futile in their speculations. So aorist passive, indicative of the word mataio, right there, means vain. Let's see. It means vain, to make vain, worthless, to cancel out. This means to cancel out. This is right out of lexicon, Greek lexicon. To cancel out. That means to cancel out the truth that God does exist, that there is a God. So there are speculations. And people, I'm talking about brilliant people in history. We're not talking about some yo-yo. I'm talking about brilliant people who come up with wonderful scientific or philosophical understanding of the origin of things. It is futile. Futile means to be vain, to make vain or worthless, to cancel out, to be destitute of real wisdom, to be futile. That's the word futile. So this is what they become as far as their life is concerned. Now, the aorist tense. And sometimes we have to pay attention to what's going on in the text. The aorist tense, stating a fact that this is what is going to happen when a person suppresses the being of Jesus Christ, of God, out of your thought process. People, whatever you come up with is going to be vain, empty, futile. It's not going to be truth. I don't care how wonderful you make it sound. How wonderful you can make sound, even as Christians, how wonderful we can make decisions sound where we have not taken into account God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit in the text. It's going to be vain. It's going to be empty. It may sound wonderful. It may sound like a wonderful thought process to you, but it's not. The passive voice. Well, by now you should become familiar with the passive voice. Passive voice. The subject receives the action of the verb. This is what happens throughout all history when man suppresses the being of God. He's going to receive all of his thinking is going to be futile. He receives that. That's the reality of his existence. So, there is no escaping this. Yet the thinking that he can is just more of the deceitful, futile thinking of man. I can reason out the being of man, the being of the world, after life, after death. I can reason this out without God. That in itself is deceitful. That in itself is futile. That in itself is denial of truth. That there will be no damaging results of denying God in my life. Even denying his existence. This is deceptive, delusional. That I can think things through without God is delusional. And people's minds like to do this. But historical fact bears differently. You cannot push God out of your life, out of your thinking, without this affecting your soul. And people, I'm telling you, this is both unbeliever, primarily in context, but in principle, believer. You cannot push him out of your thought process. How you live morally, which is going to be coming up in next Sunday, or two Sundays from now, your moral decisions, ethical decisions, not even dealing with more advanced things of like what's going to happen after death. But how we live each day with our husband and our wife, our children, our parents, our family, every area of our life, if we reason out God, it's going to have effect. It's going to affect your thinking. And the more you do it, the more comfortable you will become in that. You will become comfortable thinking of your decision process without God. Futile, worthless, in their speculations. Okay. The speculations refers to something that happens in the mind. Refers to what goes on. The word speculation involves something that happens within the mind. That there is no God. It's going to affect your moral decisions. It's going to affect all your thinking process, how you reason things out. Now, here's where we live. That word speculations. Speculation doesn't mean, well, I just speculate. No, it's the way we think. This is something that happens in our mind. This is where we live. This is why we care about keeping our physical hearts pumping, because of the thought process that goes on. The word is dialogismos. It's where we get the word dialogue. In a philosophical sense, is more than just, well, they had dialogue. It's far more important than that. You can talk to Philip after class and he'll explain to you how much more important it is than just talking about dialogue. It deals with the whole reasoning process. So, logismos, to reason, it's a function of the mind. Futile in the functioning of their mind. It means thoughts. Here's where we do our thinking. However little we do, or to whatever degree, this is where we reason things out. This is where we justify things. Demosthenes first used this word for the concepts in thinking. By the 2nd century BC, it was used for judicial investigations and judicial decisions. By the time of the New Testament and in the New Testament, it came to be used primarily for thinking without God. Logismos, dialogismos, thinking without God. Or evil thinking. Now, what is evil thinking? Evil thinking is thinking without God. Evil thinking is thinking not according to the truth of who and what God is. Evil is any distortion of the gospel. Any distortion of the gospel is evil. I know people think evil is what people will do to little animals or what people will do to each other. And these are horrible things. They're horrible. Evil. In the biblical context, is when you change the gospel. You add something to the gospel other than just believing in Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The word futile, vain, worthless, thinking in vain, worthless, against all truth, against reality, all their speculations, all their thinking, on how the world got here, how we got here, what life's about. All of these things, people, futile if it's without God. Now, we could spend a lot of time under the futile speculations, but let's see if we can just summarize this quickly. You start out, there is no God. There is no one supreme being. So this is where you start. This is a man not designed, not created by God. Then secondly, so now you start your thinking process. First of all, there is no God, no supreme creator being. So now you start out your thinking process on how we got here. Then point three. Your whole view of man changes with whatever your speculation is on how man got here. Your whole view of man changes on this one important basis. This is why you can have Islamic thinking, secular humanism, Marxism-Leninism, cosmic humanism, and postmodernism. These five thoughts, five leading worldviews, as according to Dr. Noble, who listened to at the pastor's conference a couple of weeks ago of the summit, and he has books and things written on how these, and Christianity is the other one. But you have Christianity, you have Islamic thinking, secular humanism, Marxist-Leninism, cosmic humanism, postmodernism. People, each of these vary only in the degree of their view of God, without God, who's God, and man. In our world, it's changing as you and I live right now before our eyes. I don't know about you, but I wonder sometime, how could otherwise reasonably thinking people, education of people, running for the president of this country, all three of the major candidates, can think the way they do. It just amazes me how they can think the way they do, especially when you consider the history of this country. And it really gets down to your view of world peace is your view of God. Your view of the military comes from your view of God. Your view of government, economics, all these things is your view of God and your view of man. That man is just this animal machine, and I've got to take care of him. And it's our responsibility to take care of man from the womb to the grave. That's our view of man. It's our responsibility to take care of man. It is wrong to think that man should have freedom and responsibility. That is wrong. That's not my view of man. My view of man is that man is this lowly little machine, and I'm superior, and I know what's best for him. And I'm going to make the decisions for him. And I'm going to take the responsibilities off of him and take care of him. That's their view. It's man without God. C.S. Lewis, one of the great thinkers in Christianity, and dealing with how your view of God and man sets up responsibility of man. Man's responsible in his decisions before God. Man's responsible in his decisions about his own being, about his own decisions that he wants to make in his own life. But if we have a view of man without God, a view of man as just some machine down here that I've got to take care of, it's going to affect your politics. It's very easy to understand why these three candidates can think and talk about the way they do and support homosexuality and support all of these horrible things going on and just think everything is just wonderful. We're going to take care of man. One of the Democratic candidates said, I'm going to take guns away from every American citizen. Man is not responsible. We shouldn't have that. Man is not responsible. And man can't take care of his own medication, medical things. I've got to do that. I've got to take care of all these things for man. I've got to tell man when and where he can smoke. I've got to tell man when and where he can do certain things. It's our responsibility. All comes from a view of God and man. How you think about all these things comes from our view of God and man. Okay. They became futile in their thinking, and their foolish heart was darkened. All right. This is where the process of suppressing God and denying Jesus Christ ends. It ends with a darkened heart. You start off with the realization of God. You suppress the realization of God. You come up with thinking that will take care of you, make you feel good, that God doesn't exist, that Christ is not an issue. And now you end up with the darkened heart. This is where we end up. And their foolish heart. Okay. So, the process, the foolish heart here, I want to deal with the word foolish. Asunetos. It has the privative or negative alpha, plus soon tos, which means sagacious, to reason, to understand, intelligent. In other words, they have a non-sagacious heart. Okay. Now, we're not talking about your physical heart, obviously, but the real you, the soul, the center of your being. Non-sagacious heart. What does that mean? Okay. Sagacious means keen and foresightedness, foresighted penetration, and judgment, and discernment, acute discernment. Okay, what are dealing with here, what the text is dealing with is, man looks at this world. He looks at the formation of the world. He looks at the human being. He looks at the universe. Now he's got to start reasoning and thinking through how all of this got here, what all of this is about. And since he starts off with denying God, he has a non-sagacious heart. The absence of the ability for judgment, discernment, and acute discernment in what is going on. This is his place of existence without God. Without insight, without understanding. And people, they think they do, though. You and I know it. They think they do. They've got it all figured out. The History Channel goes through and the Big Bang and how it all evolved. And they get all these scholars from all over the world. All over the world who agree. No God. No Creator. That it just evolved. When you suppress God and do not believe in Him, you lose the ability to think in the realm of reality. It's one of the first things that happens when you eliminate God, and for the believer, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit in the text, you lose the ability to think in the realm of reality. All your thinking is in the realm of unreality, not in the realm of reality. You are without insight. You are without understanding of true reality. You simply do not have it. Now, on the other hand, this is very important. On the other side, the more you know of Him, the more you trust Him and understand more about Him, the more accurate your view of God becomes. The more clearly you will see the truth, the truth will set you free. The more we understand in this text, the more we allow the Spirit to open our eyes, to cause us to see and understand, the wiser you become. People, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to assume all of you are in agreement about God and Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit in the text. Everyone in this room, you are so much wiser than Aristotle. You are so much wiser. In dialogismi, could he talk about around us? Yeah. Philosophies? Yeah. But would it all be vain speculation? Absolutely. Would not be in the realm of truth. You have the truth. You have the truth. About God, about the world, about the creation, about where you came from, salvation, what's going to happen after death, eternity. You're brilliant. You're brilliant. Your mother was right. You are brilliant. You're brilliant people. Because if you start your thinking without God and without Christ, it's futile speculation. And their foolish heart. This is one who starts his thinking on the premise that there is no God, or that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, the Savior of mankind. Okay, I put on the board for us Psalm 53:1. And so that you wouldn't have to look this one up. Psalm 53:1. The fool has said in his heart, we're talking about the darkened heart, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So the fool, again, is related to that there is no God. I can understand everything without God. And they come up with all of their great speculations. And our children have to learn this in public schools. Our children have to learn these things. This is why it's so important. It's not crucial that your child not go to a public school, but it is crucial that you communicate with them. It is crucial that daily you communicate with your child. What are you learning? What worldview, ideology, what worldview philosophy are you learning in school? Now, you don't want to word it that way to a kid. Scare him to death. But what are you learning? And here's truth. Here's truth. It's a responsibility of a parent, and boy, it's even greater today than probably it's ever been. It's greater in education. It's greater morally. It's greater as far as drugs and things. It's greater as far as... It's just greater. My mother could let us just roam the neighborhood. Have fun. Right up until dark. You can't hardly do that anymore today. So it's so important that parents communicate with their children. People, they're the heartbeat of tomorrow. We've got to pass on the worldview of Christ. A world with Christ, the Son of God. So this is the thing. So the fool is set in his heart. There is no God, suppressing what he knows to be true. We know that from Romans now. They are corrupt. That's the fool, the one who says there is no God. They are corrupt in their thinking. Now here they use the word, the text uses the word corrupt. Before we use the word vain, futile, worthless. Here we have corrupt. Corrupt means something is damaged, corrupt, destroyed. So their thinking was right about God, and now they corrupted it. They've distorted the truth in their thinking, and have committed abominable injustice. Injustice to God. They do not thank God. They do not honor God. That's the injustice, people. Yes, it's going to have repercussions in their moral life, as we're going to see in Romans with homosexuality and idolatry and all these things. But it starts in the soul. That's where all of this starts. All their rationalizations, conclusions, abominable evil. There is no one who does good. Isaiah 32:6. For a fool speaks nonsense. Now, people, don't get your ideal of somebody in out in Terrell, babbling up and down the hall. This is in the classroom. This is in the science lab. This is in ideologies, philosophies, explaining away the world. They speak nonsense. Why? Without God. Without Christ. And his heart inclines toward wickedness. Without God, that's your alternative. To practice ungodliness without God. Practice is going to be without God. And to speak error against the Lord. He doesn't exist. Or if he does exist, he's not a personal God. If he does exist, he's just one of many. They do not speak the truth about God, about the Lord, about Jesus Christ. To keep the hungry person unsatisfied. Who's the hungry person? That's that little mind who says there is a God. I want to know him. He doesn't exist. He just doesn't exist. All of that stuff, that's religion. That's all nonsense. And here's that hungry mind, and it's slowly going to be snuffed out. To keep the hungry person unsatisfied, and by the way, this is going on in churches. These worldviews are taught in churches across this country as opposed to the truth of Scripture by false teachers out of Jude. To keep the hungry person unsatisfied and to withhold drink from the thirsty. The drink is the water of the Word. The drink is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's go back to our text now. And their foolish heart was darkened. Okay, we have the word for darkened, skotizo. It's from the root, the darkness, to darken, to deprive of light. The aorist tense again is important. The reality of trying to think outside the realm of God, outside the realm of reality. Again, the passive voice. Passive voice is predominant through this section. Because once you suppress the being of God, things you're going to just receive them. People, it's not divine discipline. It's not punishment. It's a result. Something has to fill the vacuum. If I deny God, deny Christ, deny the truth, deny reality, something has to come in. So I'm ready to receive it. That old saying that he who doesn't stand for anything will believe everything. I believe that. I don't know. The way to protect your soul is to fill it with the truth, people. This is why it's so important a Bible class. Why it's so important to take in the Word daily. Is the Bible sufficient? Is the Bible sufficient to answer my questions? The big questions about life and death and afterlife and these things. Are the Scriptures sufficient to handle my problems of depression, anxiety, frustrations, all these things? Is the Bible sufficient or not? Or do I have to go outside the realm of God? I have to go somewhere else. And so many preachers think that the Bible isn't sufficient. You've got to go outside the Bible to find these truths. The indicative mood, that's the mood of reality. It's the mood of reality. No matter how man is in his wisdom thinks he can shut out God with no serious repercussions, he deceives himself and the truth is not in him. When you eclipse the light of God, you're in darkness, people. You can deny it, but you're in darkness. That's a simple fact. We cannot see without the light of God, see the truth of reality. There's going to be repercussions if we eclipse the light in our thinking. We hear sometime of how different countries over the years in the past, I suppose today, teach that America is horrible. Americans are horrible, and all the things about America are lies and all these types of things. Okay, so that part of truth is shut out. So why isn't one of those children going to grow up hating America and not believing in and not understanding anything about the truth? I think one of the most remarkable articles that still ring a bell out of Reader's Digest was the Russian pilot who defected and came here, and they took him to a grocery store, and he could not believe it. He said, "This is a setup." And they gave him a map of the United States, said, "You pick a city. You pick it right now where we don't have time to change anything, and we'll go there." And they took him to about 4 cities, as I recall. And he just walked in and just saw all this stuff. He was amazed because he had been taught it's all lies. But he just believed it. He believed it. People, just because you believe something doesn't mean it's true. He believed it. Well, this is what happens to the mind that takes God out. Takes the light of God and the light of Christ out. Okay? 1 John 2:11. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, people, this can be a believer or unbeliever. It can be an unbeliever or a believer. You hate somebody, don't say that you love the Lord. Oh, I love the Lord. No, you don't. Not if you carry hate, anxiety, or hate and bitterness, anger toward another believer. There's no love there. You're in darkness. You deceive yourself. Your mind is going to affect all the areas of your thinking. If you harbor hate toward a believer, you can't love the Lord. You can't be doing that in the mind at the same time. You can deceive yourself. Oh, I love the Lord, I just don't like them. You deceive yourself. And why do you deceive yourself? Because you're in darkness. You think you see the truth, but you don't, because you are in the darkness. When you eclipse God, Jesus Christ, the light of the world out of your life, you're in the darkness. It's just what the word means. Eclipse darkness, eclipse the sun, eclipse the light. You're in darkness. And when in darkness, you cannot see clearly. That means you cannot reason clearly. If you've taken out the light of truth, you can't reason clearly. scientists, philosophers, and so on. Look at all the evidence. Look at all of the evidence of the things that they've got with telescopes and microscopes and all the things and the colliders and all of these things. And we've got it all figured out. And we've put it all together and we got it. No, you don't. You think you do. And it looks good to you. But you don't have it. Because you don't have the truth. You don't have the light. So while they think they can see and understand, they're in the dark. Now, where does this come from? As we have progressed, we make a decision, the human being makes a decision, to suppress the being of God. I suppress the being of God, Christ, as the Son of God in the way of salvation. And then it starts affecting my thought process. Futile speculations, futile reasoning, worthless reasoning power, deduction power. Then darkness comes in. Where does that come from? Turn with me in closing this morning to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Second Corinthians 4, verse 3. And even if our gospel is veiled, okay, that's darkness. It's veiled. It is veiled to those who are perishing. And in whose case the God of this world, okay, who's the God of this world? Satan. Has blinded the minds, see their hearts are darkened, blinded the minds of the unbelieving. Those that do not believe in the being of God, the being of Christ, as the way to God, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Okay, so much in the verse, but I just want to take a look. Do not see the light. Do not see, they might not see the light. They're in darkness. And are easily deceived. Satan, the god of this world, moves in this world in his ideologies, his philosophies, to explain away everything. And he just eclipses out, he veils out the being of God and of Jesus Christ. He blinds as to the truth of the way things are. Okay, Romans 1:21. For even though they knew God, they did not know Him, Jesus Christ, as God. Nor did they give thanks to Him for revealing Himself. But instead, as a result of rejecting Him, they received futile, worthless thinking in their foolish hearts, and the foolish hearts received darkness so that they could not see the truth. The final place of man, this whole process is brought to completion in verse 22. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Now this is where we'll have to pick it up, because I want to spend a little time here. I don't want to just give it in a minute and go over it. But this is the final stage. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And people, we're talking about those who profess to understand all of these things without God as the Creator, without God holding all of the universe together. And they've got it all figured out. This involves minds of people, uneducated, all the way up to the most educated. I've got it all figured out. Maybe an uneducated mind says, okay, that's what I believe right there. That's what I believe, that there is no God, that all these things just happened. Okay, so we'll pick it up here next Sunday. Any question? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the revelation of the passages this morning, understanding who and what you are. And Father, I pray that it would see that as we take you out of our thought process, even as believers, our thinking becomes futile, vain, worthless. The more we center our thinking around you and the reality of your being, the more clearly we will see. And the more clearly we see the truth, Heavenly Father, the more at rest we are. The more the hope, the confidence we have, and therefore can enjoy each day. Father, I pray that you'll take these things, let them soak into our souls, find fertile ground in our souls and then in our lives and dealing with our husbands, our wives, our children, our friends, people. Father, pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.